We'll move to the next case, which is Stromoli v. Gonzalez.
Correct, Your Honor.
Second legal. Get squared away here.
May it please the court, counsel.
Just a minute, legally. In place. Okay, go ahead.
May it please the court. We believe that the decision of the Board of Immigrations in this case is fundamentally flawed in one aspect. The Board of Immigrations is denying our appeal from the immigration judge's decision denying my client's application for asylum was based on one incident, one inconsistency that the board and the immigration judge said was, in fact, an inconsistency. This stems from an incident that occurred with my client in 1997 when he was acting as participating in an election that occurred in Albania in June 29, 1997. After this incident, my client was stopped on the street. He was stopped by two individuals. Where the board and the immigration judge believe my client was inconsistent and, in essence, denied my client's claim to asylum was based on his description of this incident. Not the incident itself, but the description and the terms used to describe this incident. What we have is the board says that my client was inconsistent because in his affidavit in support of his application for asylum, he had uses the word, several men stopped me. When he testified, he specifically identified two men stopped me. We believe this is hair splitting at the ultimate extent in this case. My client is an Albanian. He does not speak English. Throughout the course of these proceedings, he has always used a translator.
Did he have an interpreter there?
In court, he did have an interpreter, Your Honor, and the interpreter did translate in court what my client was saying. Now, the question is several and two an inconsistency? Our opinion is that it's not an inconsistency whatsoever. Several can, in fact, mean two. Two can, in fact, mean several in this case. What my client said was he was stopped in his
doesn't mean several, though.
Well, you know, it could mean several, depending on how you translate it and how you want to deem
several. No, if you say it means several, it could mean to an Albanian. That's one thing, but to the average American citizen, it's more than two.
I understand that, Your Honor, but what we have in this case is we have an Albanian translating speaking in Albanian, translating to an Albanian who is a translator, and that going to the court at that point. Now, to say that all this is the basis for denying his claim for asylum, I think is preposterous in the case. I think it's not we can't hold him to such a standard to not only know what the word several means, but make sure that the translator know what the word several means and make sure the translator correctly translate that. Now, the translation could have occurred even before that when he prepared his application for asylum. When he prepared his application for asylum, obviously a translator was used for that translation in that regard. So maybe the translator in that case took the word two in Albanian to mean several, or took the word several to mean two, or vice versa. So we can't hold him with regard to that issue in this case. With regard to the court and the Board of Immigration also found that my client was not credible based on the fact that in his testimony at trial, he said the two men were police officers, which was inconsistent, according to them, from his affidavit. His affidavit, he said, two men stopped me.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
When he said police officers, does he contend they were in uniform?
No. The record is crystal clear on that.
Undercover.
Well, they were two plainclothes individuals that stopped him.
Right.
The immigration judge questioned him about these two individuals, and that's contained in the transcript, and it's contained in our appeal on page 16.
I saw that, but
where it specifically says that the court is asking him, who do you think these individuals are? Are they criminals? Are they bandits and so forth? And my client says, I think they were police officers.
Well, but that kind of testimony is often regarded as too vague to show that it's police officers. But I wanted to point out another thing. The immigration, in a way, Mr. Stromoli hurt his case by submitting the documents that he submitted because the immigration judge finds that these documents are not reliable, and it's one of the things he uses to bolster his credibility determination. And I was just kind of flipping through to remind myself of which the documents are, a legality party identification card and some other things, and they aren't dated and they aren't, you know, there's nothing that sort of even self-authenticates them, much less any kind of formal. And so the judge thinks, you know, you're coming in, you're giving me all this stuff that isn't reliable.
Correct, Your Honor. I understand that, and that's an issue that is commonly brought up in asylum cases, that the person seeking asylum can't prove that the documents he has are real or legitimate.
Well, and some people don't even submit documents in those cases. If they say, look, you know, I fled the country, you know, in the middle of the night with people in hot pursuit, of course I didn't go through my house, you know, and gather up all the documents. So, and that happens, and it's not always fatal to an asylum claim that you don't have documents. What's worse is presenting some document that looks like it was created for purposes of the proceeding.
But, Your Honor, we don't have that in this case. There's nothing in the record to indicate that these documents are fabricated. The government has never alleged that. The court has never alleged that. The court is going on his experience and what the Department of State reports reflect, that instance sometimes fraudulent documents are presented or can't be verified. The immigration judge in this case, before the case even started, brought that issue to the attention of every party involved, and he even addressed it with me personally, and I specifically told him, there's no way we can authenticate these documents.
Well, I understand. I'm just noticing in the immigration judge's opinion, he flags the documents as a problem, says Mr. Stromoli's explanation suggests that they're unreliable and may be inaccurate. He doesn't actually come right out and say, but then he does point out a little bit further down, the court notes that none of the documents are on official stationery with letterheads and none of the documents are dated. And so he basically, I think he's drawing a slight adverse inference from the documents, but they sure don't help. It's not something,
you know,
positive.
I understand that, but that's a situation that we have to deal with asylum courts every day. The judges will routinely say, you don't have any documents, then how can I believe you? Then when you have documents, they say, well, I can't believe your documents, I don't believe you. So we're in a catch-22. There's no way to win that argument in immigration court. It's just, that's the way the system's designed. My client cannot go back to Albania and say, hey, come in here and verify these documents. He can't contact the embassy to verify these documents because the embassy won't do it unless the immigration judge orders it specifically to be done in this case. And the immigration judges won't order it to be done in cases of this nature. So my client is in a catch-22. And as we discussed with the immigration judge, and it's contained in the record, is it relies on his testimony. If you believe him or if you don't believe him. And the whole basis for not believing my client was this one incident where he says several or two. And he says police officers or not police officers. It's his opinion that these individuals were police officers.
Well, and that, as I say, I mean, you know that the burden of proof is on the applicant for asylum to show entitlement to asylum. And if these plainclothes individuals are not police officers, then we have a whole different case. And it's unclear. Now, I certainly take your point about several versus two. You know, languages are different, and the way words meaning more than one, you know, get translated are different. But essentially what this immigration judge has done is he's made some credibility determinations and he's concluded that this person has not met his burden of proof. And we're here on substantial evidence review.
You know, I understand that, but if we look at the decision of the Board of Immigrations in this case, the Board of Immigrations in denying our appeal to them basically said that they're basing, and I'll quote from them, in light of the aforementioned omission discrepancy, and they're referring to the 1997 incident, we cannot rely alone on the Lee respondent's representation that the legality party, identification cards, and the rest of the documents are legitimate in this case. So the Board of Immigrations didn't modify the decision of immigration judge, gave its own opinion with regard to this case, and said, based on that inconsistency in 1997, we can't believe anything else that occurs after that. The natural conclusion is that if they didn't make that finding at the beginning with the 1997 incident, then it's possible they could have believed the documents, they could have accepted the documents in this case. All that we're asking for is be given a fair opportunity in this case and not to split hairs and say, well, you know what, several could mean two or two could mean several. You know, that's all that we're asking for in this case. I thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Wilson.
May it please the court, my name is Earl Wilson on behalf of the respondent. Maybe I should address the document issue first. This is not your typical case where documents are, petitioners are in a catch-22 situation. There is a specific finding with respect to Albanian documents, which is unlike, as I can recall, many other countries where there is a specific problem with fraudulent documents, and the State Department has determined that. So it's within the context of that finding that you have the admonishment in this particular case. This is not a Chinese case or an Indian case where you have sort of a proliferation of fraudulent documents. And so then you look at the documents.
Isn't that true of Albania, though?
It's particularly so with Albanian, based on research by the State Department.
Based on the cases I've heard, too.
Yes. But then when you look at the documents yourself, Your Honor, you see the documents that don't contain any independent indicia of authenticity. Moreover, when you read the documents themselves, they don't support the petitioner's claim. They don't suggest
fraudulent.
They don't suggest that he was beaten in 1997. It's just his general document, and in fact, it suggests that he was beaten, or he may have been participating in demonstrations with a lot of other individuals. It doesn't go to this 1997 incident, and so the document itself, in this general background, doesn't, when you look at the document itself, just doesn't support his claim.
Do you ever take that into consideration, that those fraudulent documents are made in Albania for Albania to make money on, and they do know that they don't substantiate they're supposed to?
I don't know exactly what led to this findings by the Department of State, but I know that typically what happens in a lot of these cases, there's actually research when you see sort of a repetition of these documents being prepared, and someone, you know, it starts out with the alien saying these are the documents, and of course the immigration judges and the service has no way of verifying these documents. But there's enough
about
of a
time that they investigate how these are all coming about.
And I think that's what happens, is that they send over to the State Department and they ask to investigate these documents. I know for a fact that in other countries, we start out with these allegations being made, and certainly in cases involving Indians and the state of affairs in Punjab, they actually go back there and try to follow up on the allegations that are being made here. But I don't know enough about that except to say that it's not an arbitrary decision in this particular case. It's a specific finding with respect to the documents with Albanians, and it's in the country reports. But also, if you look at the document itself, there's nothing on the documents that suggests that they're authentic. When you look at what's said in the documents, they don't support the claim.
It's the exact same thing I heard the last time I sat from Albania.
And
two in a row.
And I would suggest, Your Honor, that there really are problems in some of the cases, not all the Albanian cases, but in some of the cases. And perhaps there are in others as well. But in a case like this where there's actually been the effort by the State Department, I think that that's a credible basis on which to support the IJ's finding.
Well, that effort is in general, not specifically for these documents.
That's correct, Your Honor. It's general. And that finding alone is not enough to say that this document will never be accepted or documents from Albanians will never be accepted. It's just that that's what is in the back of the mind of the IJ, and then he looks at the documents that are presented with his experience. Your Honor, you've maybe heard it in one case, but the IJs may have heard it in 10 or 11 cases. And he uses his experience and applies it to the documents that's presented before him. And if you look at the documents in this particular case, not just on the face of the documents, but also the substance of the documents, they call into question the authenticity of the documents themselves.
Well, and I gather the reason the IJ focused on this, and then the board picks up on this, and it's, I guess this is more or less a supplemental statement from the board, is insofar as it reflects back on the credibility of Mr. Stromoli's overall story. It's not like the documents were going to show the particular incident of persecution. He never said they would do that.
Right. And that brings us back to the first part. If there's a reason to question the credibility, the court, the board, the IJ, looks at the documents to bolster the credibility of the particular applicant. And in this case, there was a reason to question the credibility. Understand, Your Honors, that the application for asylum that was initially filed here focused on one incident alone in 2000. It made absolutely no mention to this petitioner having been arrested or beaten by policemen or anyone in 1997.
But we know that these initial applications for asylum are often done, you know, very not in as careful a way as would be done once you really, you know, had time to think about what kind of case you had to make. And so people do add new points.
But Your Honor, The IJ looks at what's reasonable under the circumstances. Certainly, if you've got a claim based on two incidents, the petitioner in this case knew enough to include the second incident. And so it's reasonable to expect that in an incident where you've been beaten by policemen, that would be included. This is not a trivial issue, but it goes to the very heart of the claim. And then you have a supplemental filing that was made after the petitioner retained counsel. And it says, I was beaten by several men. Now, Your Honor is exactly correct. If that's the argument, that's not a basis for asylum, because you've got to tie in the police in order to get a state actor in order for there to be asylum. So presumably, by the time the petitioner comes to the immigration judge, that's a problem now. It's not enough to say that two men, thugs or whoever it is, and again, the country reports show that there's a lot of lawlessness in Albania during this time frame. That's not enough to say, well, it's a thug or somebody who's just trying to steal money or a robber or something else. You've got to tie in and show that this is state actor. And that's why the inconsistency is very material.
It's not really the two versus several. It's men versus police officers.
It's both, but especially the man versus police officer. When you take both of them, you can, if you accept his argument on the first one, and I don't think you should, because I think the several was after the petitioner retained counsel, the very counsel that he had when he appeared before the immigration judge. So it's not someone who is untrained at that point. You can probably excuse that in the first one, but in the second one, when he now submits a supplemental statement, he has an attorney. And at that point, the attorney who is probably responsible for the translation knows that several is not two. But they say several men. And that statement is inconsistent with the asylum application, and it clearly changes by the time the petitioner testifies before the immigration judge. Several men now become two police officers.
Did you ever think of this, that you got enough crooks in Albania that are over there making out these false affidavits, even though the individual giving the information is telling the truth? But the crooks in Albania are making out a false affidavit so they can't get in difficulty. And they come over here, and an attorney over here sees it, and he gets the true story again, but it has been misconstrued in Albania. What can the poor Albanian do that's asking for asylum? Because he doesn't understand the document that he's getting from his homeland.
Well, I think, Your Honor,
that's where you ought to do the investigation.
Yeah, and that could be a problem. And I don't know how the government, you know, resolves a lot of these issues involving sort of State Department issues. But that's not the petitioner's biggest problem in this case. It is the statement that he makes when the asylum application is submitted. And then subsequently, there's an attorney retained, and there's another statement presented.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. He's telling the same story here as he told over there, but the person in Albania is deceiving him because he's not putting down what he's been told in Albania. So he gets over here and he tells the same story to the American lawyer.
It's an
entirely different thing, because he got a fraudulent document in Albania.
I understand.
And he's getting paid for it in Albania.
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor, but I do know that it would not surprise me in the least, and I think the State Department's report reflects that there are a fair number of these applications that are fraudulent. I'm not suggesting that all of them are, but that's the job of the immigration judge, to ferret out these cases and to apply their background and their knowledge to the particular facts of this case. There clearly is an incentive for everyone to argue or to suggest that they've been persecuted on behalf or by the state. And the immigration judge in this particular case looked at the record, cited specific cogent reasons for finding the petitioner credible, and also found that the documents that were submitted were insufficient to overcome the problems with the credibility. And on the basis of the record, which is substantiated, we ask that the court should affirm the decision below. Thank you, Your Honors.
Cool.
Thank you. With regard to the document issue in this case, this can be quickly and easily resolved. Take the documents, send them to the embassy in Albania, and let them verify true or false. It's easy. It's done in immigration courts all the time. It's been done on Albania cases. I've had cases where it's been done where the immigration judge has sent the file to Albania. They've sent an investigator out to wherever it is, and they verify them, yes or no. Some have come back positive. Some has come back negative. That's the easy, simple way to resolve this. The immigration judge decided not to take that route. With regard to Albanian documents being fraudulent or a history of them being fraudulent, should have no bearing on my client's case. What the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration says is we don't believe the inconsistencies in this 1997 incident make it so that we don't believe the documents you've presented. With regard to the 1997 incidents not involving police or involving police, well, we do have police action in the 2000 detention where he was detained. He was detained in police custody, beaten in police custody for 3 days. So we have met all those requirements for asylum. This case can be easily resolved. Send it back to the court, send the documents to Albania, they come as they may, and then we'll deal with it at that issue. But at this point in time, my client is being prejudiced because some State Department report reflects that Albanian documents are not to be trusted. That doesn't mean there's no evidence in this record that my client presented false documents or the documents are not to be believed in any manner whatsoever, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks to both counsel. And this case will be taken under advisement.